Thank you, Lord, this day. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this morning. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the breath of life. We thank you, Father, for safe travel to this place. Lord, we thank you that in all things, Lord, that we live and move and have our being in you. And Lord, this day above all, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord God, that He is with us, Lord, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word, which is truth, which is way, which is life. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for giving us, Lord, your life, Father, that flows through us into this world, Lord, and into the lives and the hearts of those that need you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, Father. Lord, we are just grateful this morning, Lord God, because in all things, Lord, you watch over us. You care for your people, Lord, and you are about, Lord, your Father's business. So, Lord, this morning right now, in Jesus' name, we do bind every hindrance. We do bind, Lord God, every deceiving spirit, Father. We do bind, Lord God, every attack of the devil, Lord, and we call it null and void and break it and cast it out. Father, we release, Lord God, and move with the release of your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, we pray, Father God, for the free flow, Lord, of your truth here, Lord God, and that all eyes would be open, all ears would hear, all hearts would understand, Father, what you are speaking to your church this day. So, Lord, we move forward with your word, Lord, this day. And, Lord, I get out of the way. Lord, I decrease, and I ask for the full increase of your Spirit this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Praise God. Praise the living God. Stella. Nice to see you, Stella. Okay. Quick question for you. Or actually, okay, let's go to Matthew 11, but I'll have a question for you. Okay, Matthew chapter 11. And verse 7 says, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say..." Let's start at verse 1. "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which he do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And they departed, and Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen up a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." We'll just stop there. Okay. So chapter 1, verse 1 through 11.
ඔහු යාපේ සසංශ යොහන් ගැන සමුහත් කතා කරන්න පටන් ගත්තා. උඹලා කොහොමද ക്ഷേത്ര കലവ് സിഹിൻ വാസ ആന്തി നോഭാഷ ദേവലസിപ്പിക്കും നമ്മൾ കുമകട കുമകട കിട്ടുകയുണ്ട് അനാഥത വാക്കും കെനക്ക് വളാണ്ടത് എസ്എ നിമലാക്കിയത് അനാഥത വാക്കും കെനക്ക് വള വട ബോ ഉത്തും കെനെ മാക്കിസ്ഥാതമെന്ന് മമ മാതൃദൂതയാ മുഖ പെരുപോയാണ് ബഹുമുഖ ഇദ്ദേഹം മാതൃ സാധാന്യം ലിയാതി പെണ്ണെ മുഖുകയാണ് സർവം നിങ്ങളാട് കിയമേ ക്രിസ്തുസ് കെ ഉമാസ അത്തരൻ ജഹാൻ ബൗട്ടിസ്റ്റ് വട ഉത്തും കെനെ മനുപോയ നമുക്ക് സ്വാഗത രാജ്യം ഇതാകനത്തെ
Okay. Now, Jesus didn't come the way people thought he would come. This Savior of the world didn't arrive in the way, the manner, the fashion, the expectation of people. And as a result, there were many that struggled with the reality of who Jesus was. Because they couldn't see past the limited reality and the scope of their life and even their moment in time to the bigger plan that God was working out. They couldn't see past their limited moment in time. So, for example, they believed that this Savior, that this Savior of the people of Israel, of the Jews, would come as a conquering king and liberate them from Roman occupation and all of this stuff, right? And so even John the Baptist, who was the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan, saw the Spirit of God come down from heaven like a dove, heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Even he, then, in chapter 11 of Matthew, is sending his disciples to ask, are you really the guy?
John Baptista, Jordan Galilee, Jesus was the Baptista.
Now isn't that amazing? That here it is, he saw heaven open, the Spirit of God come down like a dove upon him, heard the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and yet you give it some time, and even the question is like, okay, God, is this really you? Is this really your plan? Because why? Why? Because he had a certain expectation also of what God would do, and it didn't meet that. Now Jesus' response when they sent these disciples to him, he says, "Go and show John again these things which he do hear and see." Verse 4. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. Okay. Why does Jesus refer to these things here when in response to their question? I want you to keep that in your mind and ask yourself, why is this his response? Because after that they left. And they went back. Okay. Keep that one in your mind, and I'm going to ask you a second question. The other one is, when he said in verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So, a lot of people had been born of women up until then. What made John the Baptist so great? Okay, I'll show you something that didn't make John the Baptist great. The miracles that he did didn't make John the Baptist great. You know why? Because he didn't do any miracles. So go to John 10 verse 41.
Yeah.
Or John chapter 10 verse 40 actually. It says, "And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John the Baptist first baptized, and there he abode." Verse 41. "And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." Okay. John the Baptist did no miracles. But he came as one that would be a forerunner to the light and the truth. He came as a witness before to let people know this one is coming. Now let me pause for a second on miracles for a little bit. Think of all the people that came before John. Think of all the signs and the wonders. I mean, you're talking of mass feedings of people and miraculous conquests of and wars and God's intervention in those things. And you're talking, I mean, there's so many signs and wonders that have taken place. Now, all of these miracles, and John didn't do any of them. But what was John? He was one who testified to the way and the truth and the life that was coming into the world. Now, think about today in the modern day twisting of miracles and signs and all of this, yes? How many of us have heard of a miracle service? You know, so there'll be a big call and the banners and the posters will go up everywhere, and everyone will say, yes, this Friday night or this Saturday or this Tuesday is miracle night service, yes? And why does that happen? Why does that go forward? Why do people put that up? Because if you said Bible study, how many people would show up? If you say Bible study, you might get 5 or 6 people. But if you say Bible study, you might get 5 or 6 people. But you say miracle night service and you will have hundreds and thousands coming out of the woodwork. And all showing up for the show, the performance. Everybody comes for the show. So that's the evening entertainment. Turn off the TV and go for the show. It's a different kind of performance. And always the same people week after week coming back. The point being that, okay, with John, God even made a very deliberate decision to not do miracles with him because he didn't want people to confuse what the purpose and the message and the intention of this servant of God was. So Ephesians 4, Romans 4, 12, and then 1 Corinthians 12, you have where it speaks about different gifts in the body of Christ and all of those things. But when it speaks about spiritual, when it speaks about gifts of healing and things like that, those work as the Spirit of God allows them to work. The gifts of God work. The gifts of God, the miracles of God happen as the Spirit of God allows. And the reason that they work as the Spirit of God would allow them to work is because if not, man would sell them. Today even they try to sell that which isn't even there. They try to sell that which is not even there. Today they try to do that. So you will have people selling little bottles of sand that are supposed to be from Israel and little bottles of water that was taken from the Jordan and some bed sheet that might have belonged to the Apostle Paul, and so they have a piece of that. You're people doing all kinds of gimmicks, yes? And usually, if I look at these guys most of the time, it comes down to something financial. They're always trying to get money and they just come up with a new gimmick. the worldwide system of religion that's based on money.
And
they use God as a means to try to get to what they really love. Okay, John did no miracles. But what he said and what he did and what he performed was in such a manner that Jesus himself had recognized him as saying that, back to chapter 10 or chapter 11 verse 11 says that unto you among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Okay, what was his message when he went out? Okay, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the message. And God ensured that nothing would detract from that message in his operation with John the Baptist while he was in the earth. Okay, now remember that, because now Jesus refers to the miracles that he was doing, right? Jesus Christ refers to the miracles that he was doing. Okay. So when okay. So Jesus Christ was referring to the miracles that he was doing. He himself. Do you want to give a break? Okay, Shannon, come.
No.
No. See, if you're okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Because I can't do that. Jesus Christ refers himself to the miracles that he was doing when they asked him, "Are you the one?" Right? Now, the reason I've gone this track is because, and God's had me go this track, is to keep things in right perspective. Alright? Because I want to ask you, why did Jesus do his miracles? Because when Jesus left the earth, were there still sick people? When Jesus left the earth, were there still people that were lame? Were there still issues and problems here? Okay, so what did Jesus do while he was here? Because oftentimes too, you see, before Jesus did a miracle, he would deliberately avoid crowds when he would do miracles. If at all possible. Scriptures even talk about where it says when he saw a crowd was beginning to gather, he'd heal the person before it got like this mass of people. He would try to take somebody off away from the crowd.
Mahasaya,
Very different, isn't it, than the way that these guys do it today. So today, again, we call for everybody to show up in one place, yes? Okay, get the big band and big music and everything. Okay, come up to the front, in front of the view of everybody, yes? Okay, push them over. Okay, did you get healed? I'm playing with this a little bit. The reason is, look at this. When God heals, when God does miracles, it's just like this. He heals people in different places, different times. It's not about the sign and the dramatic. It's about His love and compassion. Okay, when Jesus did a miracle, you see, He did it when He was moved out of compassion for the people that in the situation He was facing, yes?
Yes,
so moved by His compassion and His love, He would perform that miracle. So I think of the woman whose son was being brought out dead, and the mother is going there and the mother's weeping. I think of blind Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." I start going through the miracles and you see God's heart, God's compassion. Lazarus standing before the tomb and him weeping. Jesus, His response was out of compassion, yes? But along with that, Jesus Christ also was demonstrating in the natural a spiritual reality. Now it's important to get this. See, okay, when Jesus taught them to pray, He said, "Pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes? Okay, remember with the tabernacle, when God gave the instruction to Moses to build a tabernacle, He said, build it exactly like this, right? Why did He give him exact instructions? Why not say, okay, Moses, if you want to make it another 2 feet longer, you want to add a little bit of red over here? Because Jesus, or when the Father was giving the instruction to Moses, He was telling him to create a natural example of a spiritual reality. So that mankind, who was in a desperate state at that time, could see a natural example of this is how God is working. This is part of God's structure and God's design. So now when Jesus came and started doing miracles, Alright, look at the miracles that he cites. Verse 5 in chapter 11 of Matthew. He says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Right? As in earth as it is in heaven. In earth as it is in heaven. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus Christ was giving natural examples of the reality that was taking place in spirit. So the blind receive their sight. So those who were spiritually blinded, now when the gospel was being preached to them, could see in the spirit for the first time. Those who were lame and maimed by this world that they lived in and so spiritually damaged were receiving a healing of that. Those who were unclean in the eyes of the world, that whose flesh in the eyes of the world, spiritually in the world of spirit, were rotting, that they were being cleansed. The deaf were being made to hear. Those who spiritually could never hear the voice of God now could hear the voice of God. My sheep know my voice. And the dead are raised up. Those who were spiritually dead are now being raised to life. And so every spiritual thing that God was doing with the preaching of the gospel, He then gave a natural example so people could begin to understand what was happening in spirit. Now the carnal man and the worldly man and those that whose love is money and those that merchandise the gospel grabbed a hold of the signs and the flashy and missed exactly what God was doing. So in their pursuit of large crowds, in their pursuit of fame and fortune in the world, they grabbed hold of something that, and they missed the giver. So back to John. His question was, were you the one who was supposed to come? Or were you supposed to look for somebody else? And Jesus, in his response, reveals that in fact, when he later on would say, the kingdom of God is within you. So people kept looking for a natural kingdom, a natural sign, a natural conquest of the Romans. All of these things they were looking for, and Jesus Christ said, no, the reality, and this is what it is, it's a spiritual reality, it's a spiritual kingdom, that's what I'm building. Manusha, Yeah. The kingdoms of the world have come and gone. But the kingdom of the Spirit of God has continued to grow and fill the entire earth. So in what is God's purpose then, even with all of this, with the on this level of spirit, with healing the lame and opening the eyes of the blind spiritually, of opening the ears of those who couldn't hear His voice before? What is the purpose that God has of raising those who were spiritually dead, now making them alive in Christ? Anyone? God's plan, God's purpose is to restore the perfect man, the perfect woman, to restore and to bring that back to manifestation and into reality, even in this day.
ආදම් පෞකාර කුක්කලයා යේසුස් වහන්සේ යේසුස් වහන්සේ අපේ පෞරුවට සමාව දුන්නා පස්සේ අපි අලුත් ජීවිතයක් ඒ අලුත් ජීවිතය ගෙනමන් තමයි දෙවියන් යේසුස් වහන්සේ මෙලොවේ දාවේ අලුත් ජීවිතයේ කුක්කලයා වෙන තමයි.
See, we are walking out a journey with Christ, right? And when the Father, when He reaches you, and the message of the gospel comes into somebody's heart, and they're alive in Christ. You begin a journey with God. It's a very personal journey. It's a very individual journey. Where you may have similar experiences as somebody else, but you will have your own journey with the Father. So Paul, writing to the early church, said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, "If any man, individual, hear my voice and hear me knocking at the door and open the door, I will come in to him, into his heart." Not the building. He was not allowed. Jesus wasn't allowed in the building. The man had to go outside to meet him. If any individual will have the courage to grab hold of the gospel and the truth and the way, the truth and the life that God offers to them, they receive it. And in that process, there's a process that God then puts the person through, which is a restoration process. To create and to formulate the perfect man, the perfect woman. God's intention, God's design. And so people have been so damaged in this world. They've been so hurt. They've been made lame by this world. They've been diseased by this world spiritually. Their eyes have been blinded. The scripture says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers so they can't see the truth. But just like blind Bartimaeus, all he did was call out and he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And that's the call. That's the call for anyone who has a heart for God. Anyone who begins to hear His voice, you call out to Him and He meets you there. Now the natural manifestations of these things, those happen according to the will and the plan of the Father. Those happen according to the will and the plan of the Father. But not according to the merchandising of man. And what I've seen more and more often is God away from the fanfare, that's where He does it. Away from the fanfare, away from the crowds, that's where He's doing it. Because He wants the glory to go to Him and not to a man. And in so many of these healing meetings, if you actually go and check up on what's going on, the people are not getting healed. And they keep coming back, hoping like that they'll hit the lottery. They keep coming back, hoping that... Now God is the healer. But I say some of this stuff too because I want you also to be able to distinguish between the miracles of God and the tricks of the devil that are there to deceive. Alright, let me show you one example here. Go to John chapter 5. This may get a little bit off, but and you'll have to do some reading on your own. I'm sure I'll make some people mad with this. All right. Okay. Okay, let me show you an example. At John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew's tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise up, take thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Okay. Go ahead. Verse 9. Okay. Scripturally, That was a fallen angel, not an angel of God. I can show you this. I can prove it. Because now, I've heard people preach on this so many different times. Okay. When you start to see all the people that are there, because there's a world full of people hurt in the natural as well. Okay. These people are there, and they're sitting around this place. This man had been there for 38 years. Okay, I want you to think about the nature of the God you serve. Okay, this hot, sweaty sun coming down, all these people hanging out around here, around this pool, right? And this man sitting there, one of how many people waiting there for so long? And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for once in a blue moon for this water to get shook up by an angel, a fallen angel. They call it an angel. All angels are made by God, including Lucifer. He made him too. They're waiting for the troubling of the water, right? So then what can they do? When the water's troubled, whoever's the first one to get in there, he gets it. So you have all these crippled people waiting to crawl all over each other to see who can get in there first. Does this sound like something that God would set up? Okay, let me keep going. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Right? Psalm 23. Okay, let me give you another one. Verse 19 of the same chapter. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing by of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So if that angel was of God, Jesus would have had to take the man and put him in the pool and heal him. But Jesus said, take up your bed and walk, and He sent him in the opposite direction away from the pool. He sent him away from all of that madness, all of that craziness. He sent him away. And He deliberately did it on the Sabbath because that was the day of rest, and He finally granted this man rest in his spirit after 38 years. But before this, Jesus asked the man a question, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you know there's a lot of people in this world that would rather not be made whole? There's a lot of people in this world that would rather not be healed? We know of situations like that here, don't we? How many people would rather beg than actually work a job? How many people would rather complain about their condition in this life and in this world than actually have a solution? How many people would rather grumble at God and grumble at their fellow man for something in this life that they feel they're legitimized in than actually be healed and move on with God's plan and purpose for them? So Jesus asks the question. And he asked the question of anybody. Do you want out of this? Or would you like to sit here for the next 38 years? And this man said, Lord, I have no man. I have no man. I have nobody to help me in the pool. He did want out. And the reality and the truth of the gospel is that you have no man. You have good. You have Christ Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you look to man, he won't be there when you need him. And you'll sit at the side of a sweaty pool for 38 years waiting for some demon to come shake the water. If you look to God this day, God Himself meets you where you're at. And He addresses the spiritual need of your heart. And He will heal and He will save all that call out to Him. And that's the beauty of the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is that the blind do see, the lame do walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The beauty of the gospel is that this His kingdom has come. His will is being done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.